This special edition in-depth program on agriculture is brought to you in part by the McKay Group, Raceway Tire and Exhaust, Motor and Auto Group Service Department, and Johnston, Hicks, and Griffith. Join us for In-Depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about during our morning, midday, and evening magazines. If you would like to suggest a topic for In-Depth, send an email to bobleonard@kniakrls.com. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, Iowa Realty, Smith's Body Shop, Pierce's Pumpkin Patch, Bank Iowa, and Pella Corporation. Enjoy the program.
Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in South Central Iowa and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA and KRLS. Now with today's In-Depth, here's Dr. Bob Leonard.
What's the current state of the Iowa agricultural economy? In the first part of a five-part series on agriculture, let's go in-depth with Iowa Secretary of Agriculture, Mike Nag. Well, Mike, spring's here and we're ready to head into a new season, but there's never been a farming season quite like this one, has there?
You know, each year presents unique challenges, it seems, and most of the time I think we're mostly worried about whether the weather will cooperate or if there'll be flooding like we saw last year. And I did not necessarily expect that we'd be dealing with a global pandemic that could potentially impact us this year. But the good news is that as we've been talking with a lot of folks throughout the whole food and agriculture supply chain, that really things are moving. And we really expect a largely normal spring planting season. And that's what we're hoping for, certainly, and really watching to make sure that there aren't disruptions that we need to be aware of and can work around.
Yeah, it's not like people are planting in a crowd or anything.
Well, right, absolutely. You know, there might not be a better way to social distance than to get in a tractor and go plant corn or beans this year. I think that'll absolutely be a great place for our farmers to be. But, of course, all kidding aside, we know that they do interact with a lot of ag retail and the suppliers of the products that they need to go to the field, the fuel, the fertilizer, the seed, all those types of things. And we need to make sure that that workforce stays healthy and can continue to deliver services and products. So that's definitely on our minds. And again, we're not seeing disruptions to take note of today.
More in depth after this.
This special edition in-depth program on agriculture is brought to you in part by Dutch Mill Supply, De Blumenhof, Ag Resource Management, and Marion County Bank. Join us for In-Depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about during our morning, midday, and evening magazines. If you miss In-Depth, you can hear this week's programs in their entirety by visiting the podcast section at KNIAKRLS.com. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, Culver's Appella, Mahaska Bottling Company, Norm Rosendahl Tiling, and Verduft Agency.
I continued my conversation with Iowa Secretary of Agriculture, Mike Nag. Is there anything in the supply chain for our inputs that could be impacted?
Well, you know, really what we're looking at is, hey, we're a couple of weeks out from really going and getting started in the field. And for the most part, again, we're hearing from folks and we're calling a lot of people and interacting with a lot of stakeholders here. And the things that we would normally need to move out to the front line, seed, fuel, fertilizer, chemicals, those types of things have moved to the front line, and we're really encouraging farmers, be proactive. Take delivery of your seed on farm. You know, top off those fuel barrels. Really be prepared. I think if we've learned nothing else throughout this whole event, it's to do that, to be prepared and be proactive. So I just think that's a good lesson for us, and we're seeing those things happening. I think the risk, the threat would be if we have a workforce disruption due to absenteeism of workforce. And so, you know, if we're if we lose a significant percent of our trucking capacity, or if ag retailers or the local co-op has an issue with some workers being out, those are the types of things that could be disruptive. Again, what we hear from those suppliers and those retailers is that they're taking extraordinary steps to protect their workforce. maybe giving them some time off now to be separated from folks so that when it comes the crunch time, when go time comes, they can get into their applicators and into their trucks and they can really be healthy and be prepared to go to the field. So we're hearing about those types of really extraordinary measures that are being taken, and we appreciate that because, again, those are the types of things that it takes to make sure that this food and agriculture supply chain, everything from the things that farmers need to go to the field, the things that our livestock farmers need to care for their animals on a day-to-day basis, all the way down the chain to the truck that delivers to a grocery store or the person that's putting food on the shelf or that checkout person at the grocery store. Everybody in that chain is really essential to ensuring that we all can have the things that we need at the grocery store.
More in depth after this.
This special edition in-depth program on agriculture is brought to you in part by Laley, Van Mon and Seed and Chemical, Don Cron CPA, and Heartland Co-op of Prairie City. Join us for In-Depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about during our morning, midday, and evening magazines. If you would like to suggest a topic for In-Depth, send an email to bobleonard@kniakrls.com. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, Sully Transport, Two Rivers Cooperative, Earthworks Inc., and Tri-County Veterinary Clinic.
I continued my conversation with Iowa Secretary of Agriculture, Mike Nag. What do the markets look like?
Well, markets have been tough. Let's just say that. I think we've not had a chance to fully benefit from the trade agreements that were put in place last year and early this year. So that's one thing that's creating some downward pressure. At the same time, we've seen a tremendous demand increase in domestically. But we know that we really do need to export around the world in order to, again, feel that full benefit in our marketplace. And whether you look at what's happening in the cattle market, there's some things that we need to be looking at there. Demand is strong for beef, and yet the live prices remain low. And so I think there's a lot of concern about that. The ethanol industry is in a very, very tough spot. Low oil prices. Dramatic reduction in the amount of transportation fuel that's needed just because we're traveling less. And that is impacting our ethanol producers taking a couple of billion gallons of production offline. Well, that has a cascading effect on, of course, markets for our farmers and that sell corn and soybeans to those plants, but also the livestock producers that buy DDGs out of those plants. And so there's ripple effects to those things, and that creates downward pressure on our markets as well. So this is a tough time. It's a tough time really throughout the economy. Think of the restaurant operators and the businesses that have been impacted by the outbreak. This is a challenging time for everybody, and we can all be hopeful that we get through it sooner rather than later.
So the new trade agreement is in place, or it's at least theoretically, but it isn't fully operationalized, correct, with China?
That's right. So you've got China Phase One agreement is in place, and there are things that the Chinese are needing to be doing to meet their obligations. And of course, they've signaled an intent to purchase significant food and agriculture products. But again, because of this global pandemic and the economic disruption that it's causing, I think we're going to have to wait a little longer to see that full benefit. You know, USMCA also. The U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement was put into place, and we're still waiting for that to be fully implemented or become fully effective. And so those are the types of things that we're watching really closely, and those are also the things that give me hope that when this pandemic passes, when it eases, and when things start to flow more freely around the world, that demand will be there, and we will benefit from that as U.S. agriculture.
More in depth after this.
This special edition in-depth program on agriculture is brought to you in part by Dowie Pest Control, the Pella Fairway, Lighton State Bank, Shomo Mats and Humble Insurance, and Jeremy Dingham and Concrete. Join us for In-Depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about during our morning, midday, and evening magazines. If you miss In-Depth, you can hear this week's programs in their entirety by visiting the podcast section at KNIAKRLS.com. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, Steenhook Appraisal, Twin Cedars, Farm Bureau Financial Services agent Jeff Arkema, Marion County Extension, and Church & Dwight in Oskaloosa.
I continued my conversation with Iowa Secretary of Agriculture, Mike Naig. My understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that there's a clause in there with the Chinese that if there is a national emergency on their part, they get a back out of the agreement. Is that true?
There are certainly provisions in the agreement to account for if they can't make the purchases, if there's a disruption of some kind. My understanding, though, is that they've not signaled that they intend to back away from that agreement at this time. Of course, really, so much of this, we really do honestly have to say only time will tell how far widespread, how much of an impact will coronavirus have around the world, not just the United States, but around the world. I think that's the real challenging piece and the real interesting piece about this is from a market standpoint is this isn't just something that's impacting the United States right now. It's impacting all the way around the world, and those disruptions really have to be, we have to work through those things in order to, again, see those full benefits. But I think all indications are is that we're full speed ahead, you know, once we can get through this situation.
And the tariffs, where are we with them? I don't recall what the new trade agreement said about them. They were impacting other kinds of industries, too. Manufacturing, for example, the implement dealers, et cetera. What's happening with those in this new agreement?
Right. With China, again, the president actually addressed this over the weekend that he's not currently looking at reducing any of the current tariffs, which have then triggered retaliatory tariffs by the Chinese. However, we know that if the Chinese are going to purchase products at the level, and we, again, indicating $40 billion worth of U.S. food and agriculture products. The high water mark was $27 billion a few years ago, so a significant increase in, again, what the Chinese would be purchasing. If they're going to do that, they will have to lower tariffs, and then we can, as the United States, react accordingly. So that was not expressly spelled out in the Phase 1 agreement. However, we have seen small moves in lowering tariffs and a few percent. And that's good news. Directionally, it's right. But those tariffs still remain high, and that can still have an impact. So I think that's something that we're all anxious to see resolved. But it'll have to come over time as China begins to ramp up their purchasing.
Is it going to be more difficult to, I don't know, get our political leaders' attention about ag and our markets and rural America with so much of their time and energy rightly focused on the COVID-19 pandemic?
Well, it's true that the focus of the country and even as the state of Iowa must be on addressing, serving those who have been impacted by COVID-19, you know, responding and providing them the health care that they need, but also doing what we can to prevent or slow the spread. And so that has to be the focus, absolutely right. Now, here's something, though, that I think we're learning and being reminded of, is that then you've got within our economy, you've got these critical infrastructure pieces, you've got these essential services that have to be provided. And, you know, we know, a lot of us know, that food and agriculture is an essential service to the American people. We know that food and agriculture is critical infrastructure in this country. Think of where we're going to get those supplies, those things that we need, those staples, you know, bread, eggs, milk, meat. We're going to the grocery store to find those things, and aren't we so fortunate that in this country we have the safest, most abundant, most affordable food supply in the world? And that's not by accident. That takes leadership and that takes work. But it's critically important that we keep that chain moving. Again, everything from making sure that farmers have the seed and the fuel and the fertilizer that they need to go to the field all the way down the line to that grocery store shelf and to that checkout person at the grocery store. That is critical infrastructure. And so I do think that nationally. Our leadership, the president, certainly USDA Secretary Sonny Perdue, the Congress, has really supported and will continue to invest in food and agriculture. And of course, we all know those are rural issues at their origin. So yes, it requires a focus on other things at this moment, but just we are being reminded and we're seeing every day how important food and agriculture is, how important it is to invest in that in the long run.
In every crisis, there are opportunities. What opportunities do you see out there?
Well, again, I'm just reminded that last week was Ag Week. And one of the goals of Ag Week is to remind the American public the importance of food and agriculture sector in this country. We got to do that in a way that we didn't expect to, and frankly, didn't really want to. But at the same time, it's an important thing for policymakers and people right down the line to average Americans who are just trying to go about their lives to really think about what it would mean to not have something when it comes to food that they would like to have or need to have. And so I think maybe that's a positive thing that can come out of this, is just a better understanding, maybe in a better appreciation for what it takes to supply this country with the things that we need. And I hope that's something that can come out of this that's positive.
Thanks to Mike Negg for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
An audio copy of today's in-depth program is available at KNIAKRLS.com on demand or for download. Just click podcasts. If you have topics or show ideas you'd like to hear in depth, contact KNIAKRLS by sending an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's local news and the number one news and information source in South Central Iowa is KNIAKRLS.